When I'm out cycling sometimes, I get abused. Any regular cyclist becomes quite used to abuse. I've been called every name you can think of. I've even had Subway thrown at me. Been run off the road. Been threatened. And I always remain calm. I open my Bible and I turn the other cheek. If you believe that, you'll believe anything. But one of the things actually that's helpful when that's going on, because, you know, when you're out riding, people are yelling, "Get off the road!" and amongst other things. And the fact is that you've got just as much right to be on the road as anybody else. And you know, the laws of our land says that as a cyclist you can do that. It also says that you can ride two abreast. It says a lot of things. And it doesn't make a lot of difference to what people think, but it's helpful for you as a cyclist to know what your rights are, because it actually gives you more of a confidence in what you're doing. And we talk a lot about rights, don't we? In our country over the last number of years, we've talked about land rights. Before that, even one of our previous prime ministers, Malcolm Fraser, was very instrumental in pushing towards the UN for the Bill of Human Rights. And, you know, the rights of the child. If you are an employee, you will probably know some of the rights that you have in the workplace. It's interesting, isn't it? We talk as a society a lot about rights. But as you know, actually even having those rights doesn't always mean that people treat you according to those rights. Just like I was talking about as a cyclist, yeah, I've got rights, but there are a whole lot of people that don't really value those rights or don't respect them. And over the years, throughout history as humanity, we haven't actually been that good at upholding human rights. Even though the people have gone to a lot of trouble to put out bills of rights and things like that, at the same time, there have been, you know, absolutely gross violations of those human rights. And we, you know, you've only got to pick up the newspaper every single day to see that goes on. So just because you have a right doesn't mean that people are going to treat you in accordance with those rights. Today, we've witnessed all these guys that got baptized here declaring publicly that they're actually done with their old life, and that old life is actually being put to death and they're stepping in to a new life. And basically what they were saying is some of the things that they might have considered their right, they've actually left those things behind and they're actually stepping, and they've surrendered that, and they're stepping in to a brand new life. And I'm just wondering right now, is everybody that was baptized back in the room? So why don't you guys come up right now? I want to give you a certificate, but I also want to pray for them and give them a big standing ovation. Come on, let's stand up and really acknowledge these really, really brave decisions that have gone on right now. We've got two. They still get RN kids? Okay, that's cool. All right, we'll fix the rest up later. So Abby and Michael.
There you go. You're not Chase. Here we go.
All right. Yeah, that's really cool. But what I'm going to talk about this morning is that even though that we surrender part of our life, that when we actually step into a new life in Jesus Christ, we're actually given some rights. And it's very helpful to know what those rights are and to know what they're about. So that's what I'm going to talk about this morning. So and there's three of those rights that I want to particularly talk about this morning. And in the kingdom of God, you actually have those rights. And that will impact the way that you can live and what God is able to do through you in an incredible way. So I want you to reach out your hands. I'm going to pray for Michael and Abby. Lord, I thank you for Michael. I thank you that he's got an amazing story, an amazing testimony, and I thank you that God has an incredible calling on his life. And Lord, right now, I pray that he would feel your peace like he's never done before. And as he steps forward, he would go with confidence into the calling that you have for him. So just protect him as he goes in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for Abby. I thank you that you've got a calling on her life. I thank you for the courage that she's shown this morning. I thank you that there's a sweetness and an innocence about the decision that she makes. I pray that she would carry that all of her life in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thanks, guys. Have a seat. Yeah. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus, who perhaps knew what his rights were as a Jew, comes in after going through the wilderness. And this is the start of his public ministry. And he says this in very well-known verses in Luke chapter 4. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed." So the first words that came out of Jesus' mouth in a public setting after he started his ministry was that he was actually sent and he was anointed to heal, to release, to recover, and to set free. So Jesus came to do, and really everything that he did could actually be encompassed by those things, that he actually came and he was anointed to heal, release, recover, and set free. And this starts to give us a little bit of an idea of what liberty is. And perhaps the overarching thing that when somebody steps into the kingdom of God, when somebody asks Jesus into their heart, when somebody's bold enough to take that step of faith, is that you step into liberty. And these rights that I want to talk about this morning are actually umbrellaed. That's a new word. Umbrellaed, is it? They are covered. They're overarched. by this sense of freedom and liberty that you can't find anywhere else. And we're going to look at that a little bit this morning. And Jesus said, I come to set free. If we go forward a little bit in the Bible, and we go to Galatians, and we've got the Apostle Paul, and he's writing again about freedom and liberty, and he says this. He says, Galatians 5 verse 13, he says, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters." And then he says, "But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve and love one another." So the word liberty in these verses, the Greek meaning of that, was synonymous with having authority. And in this case, it actually emphasizes a legal right. You see, you've been called into freedom. And there's a sense, as Paul wrote, he deliberately chose a Greek word that said that you've actually been given freedom, but you've also been given a sense of rights with that freedom. That you actually have the right in Christ to live free. And there's a sense where I've talked about human rights and all those things that we try to build up as a society, and yes, they've made some great gains in certain areas, but they've been grossly violated in other places. And we know that just because we have a Bill of Rights, it's not going to change the way that some people think, act, and treat other people. But did you know that the rights that you have in Jesus Christ, that they can't be violated? They actually can't be violated. Stuff can go on around you, but those rights can never be taken away from you. And you have been called to live in freedom. And so the three rights that I want to talk about this morning is that in Jesus Christ, that you have the right to choose, you have the right to live, and you have the right to rule. You have the right to choose, you have the right to live, and you have the right to rule. So I want to talk, first of all, about the right to choose. You see, the difference between Christianity and perhaps any other religion is that you have the right to choose. You see, most religions are about surrendering your right of choice. Yeah. and you actually sign up to living in such a way, and it's not about making choices, it's just about doing what you're told and what you should do. You know what? Christianity is not like that at all. In most cases, religion takes away your right to choose. Jesus gives it back. People often think that if you lose yourself when you come to Jesus, that you're going to lose your right to choose. If I'm born again, I'll not be able to do what I want, and I'll lose my right to choose. Well, that's totally untrue. That is one of the great myths that is actually circulated out there in wider society, that if you come to Jesus, that you're going to lose your right to choose. And I want to say this morning that it's actually the inverse that is true. That when you come to Christ, you actually gain a whole lot more right and authority to be able to make choices than you do without Him. If you are to accept or get yourself involved in a cult or something like that, and I don't think any of you do that, but you know, it's like you actually surrender that right to choice and you sort of jump on a road where you don't have to make choices anymore. Paul talks about being a slave or a bondservant of Christ, but it was a choice that he made to make himself a slave or a bondservant to Jesus. See, Jesus never took away anybody's right to choose. You have the power to face reality and the authority to walk through it. You see, Jesus actually gives, he doesn't say it's everything's going to be, you know, wonderful and you won't have any problems. He actually wants you to be able to see things as they are. He wants you to be able to face reality, and he wants you to have the power and the authority to make the choices to walk in and through that reality. He actually doesn't want us living in escapism. He doesn't want us living and not facing what's actually in front of us. Jesus gives you the power to face reality and the authority to choose. So number one, that's that you have the right in Jesus Christ to choose. Number two, you have the right to live. You have the right to live. It says this in 2 Timothy 1 verse 10. And now he has made all things plain to us by appearing as Christ Jesus our Savior. He broke the power of death and illuminated the way of life and immortality through the good news. Are we living or are we just existing? You know, I think there's a difference between existing and living. See, Jesus gives you the right to live. Yeah. All of humanity have been born with a death sentence. I know it's not that exciting to think about that. But from the day that you were born, you know that sometime you're going to die. And we can just exist waiting for that to happen, or we can actually take up our right to live. And you've probably heard things said like, you know, God takes people away. And there would be probably people here this morning and you've been through, you know, the loss of a loved one or someone important, or perhaps you feel like you've lost numbers of important people in your world and they've been taken away. And sometimes we can actually feel angry with God that he's taken people away. You know, why did he take my mum? Why did he take my dad? Why did he take my sister? All those things. Why did he take my husband? Those things we can actually feel like. But if we read the Word of God, we find that he only ever took three people away that you read about in the Bible, and he never took them away by death. So the first person that he took away was Enoch. And he was actually taken to heaven while he was alive. And then Elijah, you know, in this amazing scene where he's in a chariot and he goes up to heaven, he was taken alive. And the third one was Jesus, who was put to death, not by God, but by humanity. And then overcame the power of death and then rose to life again. And he was taken away by God alive. You see, God doesn't take people away. Death takes people away. And there is a difference between God and death. You see, God is about the living, and he's about life, and he's about hope, and he's about a future. It says this in John 10:10. It's one of my favorite verses. It says, the thief, and it's basically talking about Satan or the enemy, and basically he's the embodiment of death. Why do you think that we have an epidemic of suicide in our society? Why do you think that we have an epidemic of people feeling like they have no other way out apart from going down that track? Well, you know, we've got an enemy behind things who wants to orchestrate things and make people feel like there's no hope and no point, which is ultimately death, because he is all about death. He's a traitor in death. The thief comes to the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. And then Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. You've been given the right to live, not just exist.
Yeah, so good.
But to live with fullness and abundance. And I want to speak into this right now. I just feel to do this right now. If you're battling with depression or mental illness or just been through a lot of tough stuff, that's okay. What I'm talking about is not trying to condemn that or make people feel like they're second rate because of that. It's part of life. It happens. But did you know that's not the sentence on your life? It's not like, you know, God has sat in heaven and he said, this is your load to carry. It's not. You were never created. You were never called to just exist and somehow have to just get by. You were actually created for so much more. And no matter what you're going through at the moment, there is always a way through.
Yeah, come on.
I'm not saying it's going to disappear like that. I'd love to right now, and I believe in the power of God, and this happens at times, you know, to lay hands on people and say, look, I pray, and we renounce that depression in Jesus' name, and it will be gone. And sometimes that does happen. But sometimes it's a journey. And you're not called to think there's no hope. You're actually called to live a life of freedom and a life of abundance.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that you won't battle those things from time to time and won't have your bad days, but you are called not just to exist, but to live.
So good. Great,
man. Deuteronomy says this. This is before Jesus even died on the cross. It says, today, and this is God speaking through Moses. He says, today I give you the choice between life and death. Now I call on heaven and earth as my witnesses that you would make, that for the choice that you make, oh, that you would choose life so that your descendants may live. See, before Jesus overcame death on the cross, God wanted people to choose life. And my encouragement is this morning, no matter where you are on that walk, that you would choose life. When we finish the service in just a few minutes, we're actually going to give people the opportunity to choose life. Maybe you've never done that. Maybe you feel like at the moment it's an existence. You know, you are called to so much more than existence. We're going to give you the opportunity to choose life.
Yeah.
Maybe there are other people and you've been on that walk with God and things have happened and you just feel like stuff has been robbed and it's been taken away. We just want to give you the opportunity to say, make a fresh choice and say, this morning, I choose life. And it's not just the power of your choice. It is that if you step into the kingdom of God and make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, it is your right to live. Nothing can take that away. You know what? Physically death can happen to you, but you cannot die. You will live, and you will live on this earth, and you will live in eternity, and you will make a difference. You are called, and you have the right to live. Not just exist, but to live. The third one I want to talk about this morning is the right to rule. And that sounds like, whoa. Whoa. We don't like that in Australia, do we? We're very sort of egalitarian. We don't sort of enjoy. You know, if you go down to the pub and someone says, what's your name? What do you do? I'm David, and I've got the right to rule. I can imagine I'm going to backside kick really quickly. Yes. True. I've been abused as I've ridden past a pub too. It says this in Revelations 1, 5 and 6, and I'll explain this in a minute. Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins with his blood, and listen to this, and made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Jesus has actually given you the right to rule. See, one of the most disempowering things is to feel like that you have no choices, that you actually have no power over your life and the things that happen around you. But that's actually rubbish. You do. You see, in the kingdom of God, you've actually been given dominion. That when we come into the kingdom of God, we're told that we are made kings and priests. A king is born for one thing. A king is born to rule. A king is born to administer governance. A king is actually born to have authority. When you come into the kingdom of God, you are born into a new kingdom to have authority. You are born to be able to rule over your environment, not have that completely control you. The word of God is that we are kings and priests. You are a king, even if you don't physically look or feel like one. You know that kings are not just recognized by the fact that they wear a crown. Things happen when kings talk. See, there's an authority behind the words that they say. And it says this in Mark 11:23. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, you can be lifted up and thrown into the sea and it will happen. But you must really believe it and it will happen. And have no doubt in your heart. Ecclesiastes 8 verse 4 says, where the word of a king is, there is power. And may you say to him, what are you doing? See, our words have power. The first thing that I want to say about that is that you've actually been given the right to rule over your environment. You've actually been given the right by God to actually declare things about your life and your environment, those things around you. And you know, you do that in accordance with the will of God. It's not like I'm a ruler in the kingdom and I declare that today I shall be given a Ferrari. Tried that once and it didn't work. Yeah. But you've actually been given spiritual authority to actually speak things out, and those words have weight. So the first thing about that is that we've actually got to think about what we say really carefully. Because when you've actually been given the authority, the inverse is actually true, that sometimes we're speaking things out that's actually bringing negativity, and it's almost bringing destruction over our own lives and the lives of others. And so think carefully about your words. Even the words that you speak in private, the words that you speak just when you're with your wife or your partner or somebody like that we've actually got to realize that you're a king, you're a ruler, and your words actually have authority.
So good, so true.
And then the other side of it is, you know, when you feel stuck, when you feel like you've got no choice, well, you go back and you say, you know, in the kingdom of God, I have been given the right to choose.
Yeah.
I have liberty. And you can actually start to speak those words out over your situation.
Yeah.
And you can actually bring about change in accordance with the will of God.
Right.
Over your scenario, over
right.
What's going on in your life. And so often we feel like we can't do that. But we've actually got to realize that we can accept pretty easily sometimes in the church that, oh yeah, we've been made priests. But to understand that you've also been made a king. In other words, you've been given a weight and an authority to bring about change. And it's almost like, as the church, we've been given this weight of governance. That we can actually bring about change in our society because we have been reborn into the kingdom of God to rule. When Jesus died on the cross, if the band want to join me now, he died for everybody. That's Muslims, Buddhists. Pagans, axe murderers, child molesters, whatever. Jesus died for everyone. It says this in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. You see, the call is for everybody. But it's those who answer the call who become born again and then become the chosen ones. And sometimes this whole concept gets misunderstood, because we read in the Bible that, you know, what you were actually chosen before the creation of the world. And sometimes we turn that around and we get our thinking wrong, that, you know, that some are chosen and some are not. But the Word of God says, you know, that all are called and few are chosen. You see, when you answer that call, you become chosen. Because you have a choice. Everyone has a choice. This morning, would you choose to step into liberty? Would you choose to step into freedom? Would you start to walk a road where you know that you have the right to choose no matter what happens to you? Would you start to walk a road where you know that you have the right, not just the opportunity, but the right to live and not just exist? And a life where you actually have the right to rule. It's the difference between being out in a massive storm in a wild ocean, in one of those little lifeboat type things. It's got no motor, no power, no steering. All that happens is it's at the mercy of the waves and the conditions and the wind, and it's just going to be blown around and it's going to end up where it ends up. But when you step into the kingdom of God, it's a bit like, you know, you've been given a motor. You've been given a steering wheel. You've been given a propeller. Been given a rudder, and you have the right to choose. Life is not just going to happen to you. You've been given the right and the authority to actually navigate your way through that life. When you receive the gospel of Jesus Christ, eternal life is imparted to your human spirit. It's the most amazing miracle that can happen. You become God's choice, His chosen one. You can, therefore, know His will, and you can choose right. So everybody's called. We're going to sing just now. Would you think about what you do with that call? Would you step into choice this morning? I believe I'm talking to two distinct groups of people. Some of you have never made that choice. And Pastor Dan's going to come back in a minute. He's going to give you the opportunity to do that. And for others, it might be like, you know what, I've surrendered. It's almost like I've abdicated my rights as a king. Some of the more senior people here would remember one of the kings of England wanted to marry a divorced woman. And as a king of England, you weren't allowed to do that at that point in time. And he was born a king. He was born to rule. But he actually abdicated. He stepped away from that right that he was given because he wanted to pursue another life. He wanted to pursue another relationship. Sometimes we pursue other things and we make the choice to actually abdicate our authority as a king in the kingdom of God. And I believe the second group I'm talking to this morning is that, you know, what you're saying, and enough's enough. I've abdicated some of these things. And I'm actually going to take up my rights this morning. I'm going to take up my right to really live. I'm going to take up my right to choose. And I'm going to take up my right to rule and live with authority. Why don't you say?